Welcome to Holy Crap. We are Amanda and Matilda, best friends from Stockholm, Sweden, where we work as holistic coaches, healers, and founders of Sweden's largest conscious community, Holy Crap.
We have always had a deep desire to explore the world, while in recent years we have come to develop a respect and appreciation for the wisdom of our Nordic culture, with our connection to nature, homes, and a strong work-life balance. And now we feel excited to share this medicine with the world.
In this podcast, we invite you to join us in conversations where we delve into life's deeper layers within spirituality and holistic health, combined with interviews with guests from around the world.
You can find us on Instagram, Holy Crap Official, and all of our retreats, events, and courses at holycrapco.com. Välkommen. In this week's episode, we meet Shayna Therese Taylor, who works as a holistic chef and wellness content creator, as she runs her own biodynamic farm in Italy. But Shayna is American that bravely did a move to Italy all by herself, and this, we feel, is so expansive. So last summer, when I was going through my journey with healing my gut, that was when I found Shayna's Instagram. And when scrolling around her Instagram, I felt so inspired by her life and felt so expanded, as she is an advocate for slow living and really finding your natural rhythm, as that's what I'm leaning into with our new house and also just being my own farm and growing my own vegetables. So there's a lot of things in Shayna's life that I feel is very expanding for me right now.
Yeah, and for me, Shayna is a huge expander, as I am looking into spending more time abroad, moving as a single girl to a new country, setting up her own farm, having lots of animals, and a very grounded life in nature. And in this conversation today, we learn about Shayna's grounding morning routine, her move to Italy, of course, and all the challenges that comes from moving to a new country, why and how she chose to create a biodynamic farm, her view on slow living, and how she finds work-life balance as an entrepreneur and content creator. And of course, her best health tips. So much to talk about. The hour just flew by. And Shayna is a big expander for us, both in different ways. And this chat gave us so much energy and really filled up us up with so much inspiration.
Yeah, and you can see this theme of us interviewing our expanders. That's really what this podcast is for, that we will only like go after people that we feel very expanded of, because we think that's when we are getting the best like conversations and you can really feel the energy.
You find Shayna at Shayna Therese Taylor on Instagram, and you find her retreats and products at shaynaskitchen.com.
Yes.
And let's get into the episode. Hi, Shayna, and welcome to Holy Crap Podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We're so glad to have you. And we just talked about that spring is coming to Europe finally. And you told us that it's 14 degrees in Italy right now. I think we have like 1 degree in Stockholm right now, but we're getting there. So just tell us about your morning, because we know that you are like a huge fan of morning routines. So please guide us through your morning.
Yeah. So it's funny because before I kind of started on my spiritual journey, I was always a morning person, up at like 6:30 in the morning to like have my matcha workout, like basically got up and immediately started my day. And even though from like a productivity standpoint, that was super beneficial, as I'm an Aries rising, Aries with the Sagittarius moon. So I'm 3 fire signs.
Oh, wow.
So I'm all fire, which is basically just like action all the time and never stop. I do have to say, like, of course it has its benefit, where I've gotten to a place in my life where I'm very advanced for my age and I feel very proud of where I have gotten with my career and everything that I've done. But I was at a point in my life where I was leaving an 8-year relationship and I was based in Los Angeles and I was starting my companies, and I really didn't want to like lose myself so much where I would basically become tired and exhausted. I was in a relationship with a very well-known person in America, one of the hardest working people I've ever met. And watching him have zero balance in his life and try to create balance for him was very eye-opening for me, because I literally told myself that in my own career and my own success that I wanted, I never wanted to have that imbalance in the extremes of like working hard and like feeling like vacation is the only time that you have for yourself. Because I feel that that's just a very hard back and forth, and your body actually never has time to rest or has balance. And that obviously has its repercussions where everything is extremes versus finding balance. So in my spiritual journey of just trying to heal myself from childhood, from an 8-year relationship of basically being 28 years old and starting over completely, I started doing healing sessions and getting into spirituality. And in that process is when I really started to incorporate a morning routine into my life. And I realized how, even though I felt like I was an overall like happy person and like kind of pretty intuitive for who I was at that time, I had no idea like how untuned and how I was running more from fear versus running from a place of trust. And so my morning routine has become an essential part of my everyday life, because I've learned that starting a day from an ungrounded, unchecked in place has zero benefit for the rest of my workday or relationship or friendships or family dynamics. Mm-hmm. So every morning, and this may look different for everyone because of course people have different life experiences or they have children or whatever it is. But for me, in my time of my life, in the last 5 years, my morning routine consists of waking up early, because I love to wake up early. And I do...
What's early for you?
I basically any time the sun is up, I'm up. So for a long time in the winter, it was like 7:30 I was waking up, because that's when the sun was starting to come up. Now the sun is coming up like 6:30, 6:45. So now my body kind of like automatically wakes up around then. Mm. I woke up with alarms for so many years because of my ex, that I refuse to wake up with an alarm again in my life. I'm like circadian rhythm all day long, unless of course you like absolutely have to, like a flight or something. But so now I wake up between like 6:45 and 7, which is not crazy early, but early enough for my day. And then I normally go downstairs, have all my like wellnessy stuff. Right now, I actually went to America for a month and my stomach went from really healed to unhealed in a very fast time frame. I literally did it, this is a different topic, but like I got my GI map at the end of my trip to America, and basically all of my like H. pylori and like strep and all these things came back in my stomach, which I didn't have for almost 2 years since I moved to Europe.
Whoa,
which is like,
that's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. I saw you shared once the difference between America and the Europe when it comes to the food and everything, and how pasta here in Europe is a totally different thing like in America. That's so also different. So interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it reminded me, because now that I live in Europe, I literally have food freedom. Like legitimately, I'm not afraid of food. I eat whatever I want. Like I have balance, of course, and like I eat really healthy, but it's just not, I don't have to stress about what I eat. Whereas in America, I went back there for a month and it was the first time I'd been back in a long time. And I literally was like, oh my God, I forgot what it was like to be afraid of everything here. Like I was afraid of everything. And with right, you know, with right reason, my stomach was like really messed up. Anyway, back to the morning routine. Yeah.
We're getting to the guts.
Yes,
later on in the conversation.
Yeah. So right now in my morning routine, I have a kind of regimen I have going to get my gut health back in order, since it obviously went a little bit the opposite direction. And so I basically put together like a concoction of drinks. I have my vitamins, then I make a matcha, and then I immediately go to journal and meditate. And I try to block out at least 30 to 45 minutes to journal and meditate. If I don't have that time to journal and like sit and really spend time, I at least take 5 minutes to do my grounding practice and meditation, and also go outside and ground my feet in the grass, like in some sort of nature, whether it be dirt or cold or grass. Like I really don't care. Even if it's 2 minutes, I will go outside and like make my feet be cold and then come back inside and put socks on. And then from there, basically after I close my meditation, I close my journaling practice, then I pretty much start my day from there. But that is like my typical everyday essential morning routine for myself. Yeah.
And I can imagine when having all of these like fire placements, that it's very much needed to really ground yourself into earth and everything, because I also have like an Aries moon and Aries Venus and have a lot of fire pitta, so I can, the fire can easily like burn you out because you have all of this energy going on. So I'm a Taurus sun, so it's easier for me like to maybe connect down to earth, but it's very important to really have a grounding practice.
Yeah, it wasn't easy for me in the beginning at all. Like I literally had to start with just journaling for 5 minutes every morning. Mm-hmm. That was like my max capacity of what I was willing to like do, like give up in my, you know, all the things I needed to do other than journal. And I remember so many times in the beginning, I was like trying to journal and I would always like do it for 2 days, then I wouldn't do it for a week, then I would do it for 2 days. And I just like kept getting so annoyed with myself because I was like, I know this is beneficial, Shayna, but like, why can't you just like do it? So at some point I hit like a threshold where I was like, I know because of all my other health stuff that I do and studied, it takes 2 to 3 weeks, typically 3, to incorporate a new routine into your life. Mm-hmm. So do it for 3 weeks every day. And then see what happens. So I literally was like, tomorrow I'm waking up 5 minutes every morning, 3 weeks. And I, Aries, of course, if I set my mind to something, I do it. I managed to get 3 weeks in. And since then, I never looked back. And 5 minutes turned into 10 minutes, 10 minutes turned into 20. And then after that, it kind of allowed me to create a routine of just sitting and writing and checking in with myself. And then from there is how I actually started to incorporate meditations as well, because I needed to create the simple habit first versus trying to do both or do meditation first, because my mind was just like, there was no way I was able to meditate in the morning because I just thought, you think of a million other things to do. But I was also doing a lot of spiritual practices in between and was like helping me through ceremonies. And like, I was trying to just become more connected with what meditation was to me. And of course I had like a way stronger opinion about what meditation was supposed to be. And until I was able to like release what society tries to tell you meditation is and just realize that it's whatever it is to you of like what you need to do to ground and to check in and to, you know, speak with your higher self or your guides or whatever it may be in your spiritual practice. And and now it's just something that I can't live without ever.
That's so nice, because in this, my question were, how did you do it? But consistency is the key. As you said, you have to do it over and over again to get your body to understand that this is now the new you.
You also have to trial and error things. Like not one thing is going to work for you. So just because like it one routine or one meditation or one thing works for you, it may not work the same for me because I may not have a resonance with it. So like being open-minded to the fact that like, yes, following spiritual people and getting guidance is amazing. And it's super important to like see which different, you know, avenues you can discover and what works for you. But like you have to explore and try and like see what really feels good to you. Like look on YouTube, follow podcasts, find a healer. Like it's really important to find what resonates with you best and trial and error until you find something that you feel really fits versus trying to like put yourself in a box of someone else's experience of what works for them.
Yeah, we used to say like in Holy Crap, we're all about trial and error, because that's the way how we are moving forward in our company. Like we try something and that it doesn't go the way we think or thought. And we just, that's the way how we finally getting to the core. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, my mom used to tell me all the time, which like I think sometimes is like a risky thing to say when you're a mother, but she used to always say, you never know if you like something until you try it once. And she used to say, I hate to say it, but it's going to be with everything in life. It's going to be with drugs, relationships, like, you know, experiences, travel, habits, like whatever it is. Unfortunately, like, yes, of course you can probably look at something and be like, I would for sure hate that when you like get to know yourself better, so you don't need to try it. But how do you know, you know, until you try something, you really don't know if it's going to work for you or not.
And I'm thinking, as for you, Matilda, as you are having this dream of living abroad for a while, and how do you know if you're not going to try it?
Exactly. So yeah, I am now thinking, so I rent, like I rented out my apartment from April. So I need to go somewhere, and the universe took care of the apartment, because that happened just like out of no effort from my side, and I need to go somewhere. So I know it's going to happen. But I do have some hesitations of going by myself, like starting a new life somewhere, finding new friends, doing the whole thing, find like good living situation, and just, you know, root yourself somewhere. And I'm so inspired by the journey you've done. So do you want to tell us, like, why did you decide to move to Italy? I know maybe you told this story thousands of times, but we want to hear it again. And how did it all come about? And like, why a farm? And why this place in particular? Why Umbria? And so on.
Yeah, the circumstances around like moving your whole life.
Because I know we have so many listeners who's also inspired by doing this move, especially winter in Sweden. Yeah, we want to get inspired.
Totally. So I'll try to condense the story as much as I can to like the main points, because it's kind of a long, long journey, I guess. But I had been coming to Italy for many, many years, at least a decade before I actually moved. And I spent a lot of time in Italy actually with my ex-boyfriend of 8 years. And it was a place that we actually bought a house. Well, he has a house, still has a house as well. And our whole kind of plan was for me to spend most of my time in Italy, because it was a place that I love so much. And then him to go back and forth and like come and visit basically when he didn't have work, because it was a place that brought so much joy to me and also to him. So when we broke up, I was like, okay, there's still a part of me that wants to move to Italy, but I need to understand if I loved Italy in my relationship or if I loved Italy, you know, for myself. So when I moved to LA, back to LA, had my house, like was, you know, building my first home, I was like really into obviously like health and wellness and like being a content creator and all that kind of stuff in that time. And that was a big part of my life for many years, because I used to be a chef, and that's kind of how it evolved over time. And so I was like, okay, the only way I can figure it out is if I go and spend time in Italy by myself to see if I still love the country as much as I thought. So I actually found a loophole in 2020 during COVID and managed to get into Italy, and I stayed there for 3 months solo by myself. That was the beginning. I fell in love with Italy even more. I just traveled around and like spent as much time as I could abroad and just trying to explore Italy, what it was.
Did you go to different places?
Yeah,
or did you find one place?
I was kind of all over the place. Tuscany, I went a little bit to Umbria, but I wasn't really like ready to go back there, because that was where I spent most of my time with my ex. Then I did a lot on the coast, and then I would spend a lot of time in Copenhagen as well, which is where my girlfriend with, I'm the godmother to her children. So I spent a lot of time with her there. So I did this for 3 years, going back and forth and spending basically almost half of the year in Italy by myself, planning trips with friends, half alone, half with people, and just trying to understand what that life was for me and if it was something that I really wanted to do. And every single time I would go and spend time there, I never wanted to come back. I was like, I love it here so much. I resonate with not only like the land energy, but the relationship that Italians have with food, the food quality, the community, the just like overall love for family, and like just everything about it, I just loved and feel. I felt more at home spending time in Italy than I ever did spending time in California, and I'm born and raised there. So I told myself, like, okay, my dream has always been being a chef, to have my own farm and grow my own vegetables and have high vibratory and nutrient dense vegetables that I can eat and share every single day. And so I had this idea in my mind, but I was like, I don't know when I'm going to own a farm or like if it's the time or whatever. So my family knew that I was thinking about moving to Italy. And so I offered for us to go to Christmas. This was in 2021. 2021. I offered to do Christmas vacation in Italy together. Me, my mom, my brother, and my little sister, because that's normally who we do Christmases together. And so they said, yes, we would love to. So I got a house in Airbnb in some place in Tuscany, and that was our plan. before this, I was like, had so much resistance of selling my home in LA and getting rid of like the first house that I just put so much love and energy and like styled it amazing. And I was just like so in love with it that I was like, how am I going to leave this house? And then literally one day I woke up and I was like, I think I'm ready to sell it. And I think I'm just like ready to go. Like, I don't know what dawned upon me. I just literally woke up, and I'm sure it's because of all the spiritual practices I was doing, because I was really into working with healers at the time to like get over my ex relationship and like refine myself and like deal with a lot of childhood trauma that I hadn't dealt with. And I think like through all that, I was just like, it just clicked on me where I was like, I'm ready. I'm ready to sell my house. I'm ready to sell my car. And I'm ready to just like start something new.
This yeah, was because like when you're no, I just say because both of us are working as healers as well, and when you do like a lot of healing practices, as you said, you're also, what you're doing is that you are taking away or limiting so much of fears, and instead inviting in more love and trust. Exactly. So that may also be like somehow maybe you had fears of losing the house, and then suddenly you had like shed so much of your fears, and then you felt like, oh, I'm ready to just let go of it.
Yeah, you could connect your authentic self.
It's not just fear. It's like learning non-attachment, because true freedom is living in non-attachment, and true like not living in fear is following your intuition and understanding when to trust and when to listen to your intuition and when to just sit and do nothing, not live in fear, but to sit in trust and act off of learning how to trust your intuition. And what is the difference between intuition and non-intuition? And it took me a long time and a lot of trial and error to understand that. And actually, one of my favorite tools that I love to use to be able to tune into my intuition is always tuning in with your body. Your body tells you everything you need to know. So if you're in between two decisions, move to Italy, stay in LA. And if I close my eyes and I tune into my body of how it feels when I say, okay, move to Italy, my whole body just like relaxes, my whole heart expands, like everything just feels like, oh my God, like so amazing. And then I think and close my eyes about like how I feel staying in LA, and all of a sudden my heart constricts and like I get really stressed, and there's like these, you know, stress points in my body. And like, if you just learn how to listen to the body and in tune wherever your body is feeling the best and most relaxed and the most inspired and the most expansive, means that that is the intuitive decision that you should follow. And so learning all of that is what really helped me to understand that like, I don't want an attachment to a place in LA when I can create a place like I've made in LA anywhere in the world. At the end of the day, it's what I create for myself, and it's the energy that I'm carrying around with me versus a place or items or materialistic things. It has nothing to do with that. So I literally told myself, okay, I'm going to put my house in the market. This is November. We were leaving December 15th for Christmas. I was like, I'm going to put my house in the market. If it sells, I'm going to Italy with 3 suitcases and I'm just going to wing it. Sure enough, I put my house on the market. 2 weeks later, it sells. And I'm like,
oh my God. Universe, I'm listening.
Guess I'm going to Italy. So I literally left my house in exactly the same way that I was living in it.
You sold all the furniture and everything?
So I sold a portion of it before I left, like a big portion of it. And then I had a full-time assistant in LA. She actually still works for me now. And I hired a moving company and her to basically pack up all my house and move it to Nashville. Because I was like, if I'm not going to move to Italy, I know I'm not moving to LA, and I'll move and buy a house in Nashville. So I had all my stuff packed up, all of it moved to Nashville, put in a storage unit, and I left with 3 suitcases to Italy. And I was
it was intense month for you. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was definitely extreme. But you know what? I was like, I was in it. I was like, I made my choice. I'm going, I'm listening to the universe. And I was so excited and so inspired. Like, I was so excited to just like, all these years of dreaming of moving abroad and going to Italy, it just like, it just finally was like, it was happening and I was so happy, even though I knew I was signing up for like so many challenges. If you want to move abroad, I don't recommend like not figuring out your visa process and all that kind of stuff before, because it is really complicated and can get very expensive. So don't do what I did. Like, make sure you prepare yourself. But
because you were just going to wing it on like a tourist visa. Yeah. Was that the plan from the beginning?
Yeah. So my plan was I'm going to go for 3 months because I could, as an American, I can stay in Europe without a visa for 3 months. And then in that 3 months, I was like, I feel like I'll gauge, you know, what I want to do. And then I can go back to America and just rent a place in Nashville or like stay in a hotel, figure out like, you know, what I need to get done. And then I can go back. So that's essentially what I did. But there was like so many things in the process of when I actually went there. And so much so that like, so my family and I, when we were there on vacation, we were walking around different Italian towns and we were in Montepulciano. And I was like walking. And I was kind of walking behind my family. And I just like turn and look at this real estate office. And I was like, I don't know why, but I feel like I just want to go in there. Like it would kind of be fun to like look at properties with my family here, since we don't really have much to do. You know, we're just like here on vacation. So I went in and I was like, hey, like I had no idea what I'm looking for, but like, I would love to start looking at properties in Italy, like Umbria specifically, but like maybe Tuscany, you know, can you help me? And they were like, yeah, of course. Like, what's your budget? Like, what's kind of your idea? And I like gave them what my budget was. And they were like, okay, yeah, we'll contact you and send you some listings. And I was like, okay, great. So they emailed me like same day, started sending me some properties. I like gave them more specifics and they like sent me more. And then I narrowed it down to like 3 properties that we could look at to see if they were available. And, 2 of them were available. So we like went to go and look at properties. The first place that we went to was actually the place that I ended up purchasing. Mm. And I didn't purchase it immediately. I went there, loved it, felt it, left, then told myself like, okay, you need to look around before you just like put an offer on something. Then I had friends of mine come visit me, a couple of friends of mine come to visit during Christmas time, and we wanted to go to spend New Year's somewhere. We decided to, I remember when I like went and looked at the house, they told me that they did vacation rentals. So I asked them, do you mind if I rent it for the week of New Year's so I could like get a feel and kind of live in it? And
they're like, so perfect.
They were like, yeah, totally. If you buy it, like, we'll just let you stay there for free. And I was like, great. So we went there, stayed for a week, and I fell in love with it even more. And actually, when I was in meditation, when I was there, it dawned and dropped on me that I was like, I feel like I should rent it for the month of February and like it be my base to be able to go and look at all the other properties so that my logical mind can be sure that this is the property that I want to purchase. So at that time, I was like, okay, I really wanted a farm, but this house didn't really have much land. It had like 3 hectares of land only. And so I was like, maybe it's not it. Definitely want to like be more open. So I went actually to Copenhagen in between this to visit my girlfriend, and the owners of the house happened to be Danish. So I found this out and emailed them and said like, hey, would love to rent your house for February. I'm also happen to be coming to Copenhagen. Would you like to meet for a coffee so I could hear about your property? And they were like, we would love to. And they're like a very old couple, maybe like in their 60s, 70s. And they just had it for a long time and they were ready to give it up. So I went to Copenhagen. We met for a coffee. Beautiful people. They brought me like the book and all the photos of the restoration from when it was a ruin, and brought me the olive oil to try from the land and all this kinds of stuff. Beautiful people. Then after that, they emailed me and said like, we know that we want you to be the owner, so we're not going to accept any more offers until you put an offer.
I get chills.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is so guided. The whole process is so
guided. And you just have to stay open. Like, I was just open and listening, and I was so in flow because I was so inspired by my own decision of what I was doing that, like, it just flowed and it was magical. And yeah. So I went back in February and I noticed that like the olive trees that were in the 3 hectares of land around the house were connected to a bigger olive grove that were outside all around the property. So I was like, I asked the real estate agency, I was like, once upon a time, like this was all together. Like what happened? Like who owns the other land? And she's like, I don't know. Let me look into it. And sure enough, she looked into it and she's like, by the way, the land's for sale. And I was like, really?
Everything is just like served.
Yeah. I was like, Wow. Okay. That's really good to know. Like, how much is the land? Like, it was a huge plot of land. It was like a part of 156 hectare piece of land. And I was like, listen, I don't need that much land. Like, I just really am interested of like what's around the property. And, you know,
how did you even know how much land to buy? Like, did you have stuff to who you could like,
I mean, the real estate agency was helping me, but like I had an idea because like I was always obsessed with like farming and agriculture and, you know, biodynamics. And so even though I didn't have my own farm, I was always very like, I was always learning about it, always interested, like always following people with farms. And so like, maybe I didn't have a super education, but I had an idea of what I could do with the land that I wanted, because it was like mostly arable land and then mostly olive trees that was not arable land. So to me, I was like, okay, I can plant whatever I want in the arable land. And then I can also have an olive oil production, which has been a freaking dream of mine as a chef forever. So I was just like, this would be the perfect scenario. So anyway, it was beautiful and so in flow. I put an offer actually February 22nd, 2022, 22222, and they accepted my offer on February 2nd, 2022. Oh, so it was one of those beautiful, whimsical experiences. Since then, I have had numerous amounts of challenges. So just know that like moving abroad is definitely not all whimsical and flowy. In the beginning it was, and then reality kind of sank in and I had a lot to deal with. I mean, I still don't own the property. It's been 2 years from now. It's been 2 years. There's been a million delays. The house didn't pass the inspection. Now the pool is not irregular. Like the owners, you know, were just like the drama. Just a lot of drama that you don't expect to
So interesting, because I have a similar, because we just bought a house outside in nature here in Stockholm, and everything was so flowy, and I recognized myself in so much in your story about non-attachment. That was really my practice during this 8 months process of us having the house, and then everything just was so flowy. But the same month that we signed the house and everything was the same month in holy crap that we couldn't take out a salary like in 2 years. So I was just like, okay, now I'm given this beautiful house of my dreams, but we are struggling so like economical in holy crap right now.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting, as you said, things can be so flowy, but
and then
still,
you heard the renovation is going to be more,
yeah,
so much more,
so much more
like
than we thought.
So many challenges that came on.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's tests.
Like I don't know what it is. And it's something, because life is about the learning process of life. So I guess that this comes, even though you have your dream and everything, I was just like, okay, this is still a part of it. Like, I don't know.
It's a part. And I think life gives us different experiences to always teach us lessons. And I think what I have learned in my own journey is like, what I needed to learn was that I was holding a sword and fighting my way through a war of my own inflicted self. And because that was something that I had erected, just had from childhood, because I had to fight my way through childhood, which then made me feel like I had to fight my way to survive in my life, that I had to realize that I could put my sword down and that I created safety for myself, and that I was actually the one starting to attract a little bit of the chaos, because I was so used to dealing with good then bad. Like, with every good had to have bad. And that was something that I had in my life, because it was something that I attracted and something that I experienced. And so I think that I had to really realize, one, energy exchanges are real. When they are not fair, something always goes wrong. Mm-hmm. I've realized now that I think what's been happening, and it's going to be so interesting to see what happens with the house, like in the end of it, all of this drama. But I think the energy exchange was not fair, meaning I was paying too much for what the property was worth. And so since then, there's been nothing but chaos of the universe trying to change it. And I genuinely feel that like there's a situation that they're in right now where the pool is not regulatory, which means by Italian law, they cannot sell it to me, which means also there's a law in Italy where if you lie about the state of what the property is, that it's like fully available to everything's whatever, you can actually sue them to not only give you the deposit back, but give them double the, like pay it twice. So I would never pursue this necessarily. I mean, obviously it's like so circumstantial. Like I don't have any bad blood with the people, but they have to understand that like they've made me wait 2 years for a project that I've been trying to make a retreat out of, which now I've just been delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed. And so I think it's just so interesting to see what the universe has planned and like what is happening. And I've dropped completely into trust, and I realized that everything, when something would happen, I took it so hard. Like, I was just like, why is this happening? And why? I just don't understand why everything has to be hard. And like, I was like in this situation where, mentality. Yes. And then I finally, it like literally sunk in where I was like, Shayna, the only person that is making this difficult for you to deal with is yourself. Because at the end of the day, no matter what stressors come at you, it is your choice how you get to react to it. And I literally was like, I'm so sorry, body. I have put you through so much anxiety and like high stress only because I couldn't realize that I have the strength to be like, no, I don't accept that I'm going to let this upset me. I'm going to drop back into trust and know that like whatever is meant to be will be. If I lose money, I lose money. It's part of my experience. It's part of what I'm supposed to go through. Money is just currency. It will flow back to me at some point, and I believe that and whatever. And so I literally just like started doing that of just like, I genuinely don't care about the outcome. All I know is that I want to stay in my sovereignty. And what I also learned in my like spiritual practices is that when I feel overwhelmed, I pull up all of my grounding energy and go into this like chaotic place. And when you're not grounded, you can't deal with things and you can't recycle the energy and you can't pull up the energy that you need to like feel full and to protect yourself. I'm also a projector. So I absorb everything in human design. For people that don't know, in my human design, I'm a projector, which means I literally absorb all energies around me at all times.
Yeah. I'm the same.
Yeah. So you have to be so protective of yourself and you have to stay grounded so that you can actually feel like you can deal with life stressors.
So interesting.
Wow. Did you ever feel, because you did this on your own, right? You did all this big project of, you know, like creating your own farm. Did you ever feel like it was a lonely venture, or like, did you have those thoughts? Or
so it's actually really funny, sorry. So when I purchased the, or like put an offer in on the house in February, then we were supposed to sign for the house and I was supposed to move in August. And I was already basically moving, or like lived abroad, because I didn't have a house in America, you know, then. So I was like just, you know, traveling around. I was in London. I decided to get an apartment in Paris because I was like, I'm single. I should probably have a city place, not just isolate myself in the country if you ever like want to get married. So I was like, maybe I'll have like Paris as, you know, my city place and go there sometimes on the weekends. And I was like, for now, I'll just like rent a short-term place and, you know, stay here until the house is ready. So in August, when they found out that like the house didn't pass the inspection and like they couldn't buy it, they told me like, you can move into, it's actually two houses on the same property, and they were owned by two different people, but they sold it all as one. And they told me, you can move into the one house. And then they asked me as well, like, could we keep the vacation rentals in the other house for the summer to like make money to like pay for the stuff we had to do? Because I like the owner so much. I was like, yeah, of course. Like, I'll just move into the other one. But like, you know, thank you. Because I was obviously like expecting to move in. So it was the right thing for them to do to let me move in there. So that house was like completely empty. And let me remind you, these are old, like 25-year-old farmhouses. Okay. They have like, they are not beautiful homes, but like they're not like, so yeah, luxury. And
not your style.
I'm from America. I'm used to all the best compliances and like stuff and convenience and like everything. So this took me a while to like wrap my head around. Obviously I didn't realize the impact of what it was going to be like moving to a country that's basically 100 years behind and also in the countryside. So I'm so excited. I like land the guy, Mateo, who works for me. He comes and picks me up at the airport. He like brings me to the house. And I literally I told him like, please go buy me a mattress at least. And like something to put the mattress on and like some sheets so that I just have a bed to sleep on. I was just like, that's enough for me for now until I like figure out what I'm going to do. And then he got me this like square black table and like these really bright orange yellow chairs in the kitchen. And I just remember I got there and preface, I'm not a drinker. I drink biodynamic wine occasionally. I kind of gave up drinking a long time ago when I started getting more into spirituality. But occasionally I like a really good biodynamic wine. So I happened to have biodynamic wine there from when I was staying there in February. And I literally landed and got in the house. And I was just looking around and I was like,
what have I done?
And I literally was like, I need a glass of wine. And I don't know if I've ever drank alone in my entire life. I literally like got a bottle of wine, opened it, poured myself a glass, and I was like, it's going to be okay. You don't even have a car. You can't even go to the grocery store, but like, it's okay because I'm going to pick you up. But like, this, the like cabinets are like not on the kitchen, to like things. Like, things are just so old and so messed up. And I literally was like, okay, it's going to be okay. I'm in an empty house with a mattress in the middle of nowhere. Like, cool, cool. So I remember my girlfriend, Olga. She lives in Italy at the time. She's from Moldova. She was actually one of the people who allowed me to feel comfortable to move to Italy, because I had met her in 2019, actually, when I came to Italy and I was dating shortly this Italian guy, and we were all hanging out and I got to meet her, and her and I just clicked. And so we like stayed connected. And then when I was doing the solo trips, we hung out here and there on the solo trips and bonded quite well. And so meeting her really made me feel comfortable. Like, at least I had one friend when I moved, you know,
because that's good.
I had my girlfriend in Copenhagen, but she was a mom and had three kids. So like, it's not like she can, you know, travel around as easily as my girlfriend Olga, who was like single like me and, you know, just always up for anything. And so she called me and was like, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm drinking a glass of wine. And she's like, by yourself? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, what's wrong? Something's definitely wrong. It's not normal. And bless her heart, she surprised me and texted me the next morning that she had just landed in Florence and she was taking the train to come and be with me, because she was you drinking by yourself, not normal. You're not okay.
That's how you have girlfriends. Very sweet.
Yeah. So she came and we basically just like tried to make myself a little bit more comfortable in my living situation. You know, I came with just suitcases and nothing else. And I just, you know, it was a very overwhelming experience to go from living in, you know, a really modern day convenience city with all the things that I love to like going into an old, old country house in the middle of nowhere with no car, like empty. And I was just like, whoa, I just like culture shocked myself at like a rapid pace. But slowly, I was like, just kept spending time outside, like kept thinking of like what I really wanted to do and like why I did this move. And like it eventually just passed. And I never really felt alone, to be honest, because I love being alone so much that like my time alone is so important to me. And I feel like I expand and I really evolve as a person the more time I spend by myself. So like to me in that time of my life, it was what I needed, was like having that time alone and like really in the isolation to like discover what this new chapter of me was and my new chapter of my life was. And so I never really felt alone. And I was lucky because I obviously had people that I trusted that were there to help me with the property. So having people like Matteo and his wife Monia, who was ended up being my housekeeper, and like knowing that there was people close by me definitely helped. That they didn't speak much English, but like just knowing that I had someone to call if something happened in the house, or like I didn't know how to work something, like having those, that really helps me feel like, okay, I'm not totally alone. And if something breaks in these old freaking farmhouses, like I have someone to call. Yeah. And then in time, I knew that I was going to have to find help there, to help me, especially with the language, because I did not know Italian when I moved there. And it's one thing to move to a city like Florence or, you know, Milan or Rome, where most people speak English, but it's another thing to isolate yourself in Umbria where nobody speaks English. So I've been really lucky where I've met people through Instagram that were reaching out to me that were local to Umbria, who were like marketing people or someone in the industry.
Oh, wow.
And through social media, I was able to find an amazing assistant who helps me with all the agriculture stuff. Her name is Jahara. So she helps me translate and helps me manage all the stuff related to the farm so that there's no miscommunication or I don't do something right. And that's been super beneficial as well. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I'm getting so inspired listening to you. It's so cool.
So expanding. And one thing I really, because you have been talking about slow living, And I can see how that also resonates being like an Aries. Oh, have you looked up your astrocartography to see if you have any lines through Italy?
No, I think I don't remember, to be honest, but my girlfriend, who's my spiritual healer, yeah, she, like a month or no, like a year before I was going to move, she was like, do you want to test what your power spot is on Earth? And I was like, yeah. Mm. So she was like, okay. So she has pictures of all these different monuments and things around the world.
Yeah.
And she had them all upside down and she tested each one with the pendulum with my energy. And like, basically the one that was spinning like insane was Florence.
Ooh.
So I had already wanted to move to Italy at that point. So when she told, when that like happened, I was just like, wow, that's just another confirmation of like the direction that I need to go. But I should look at the lines too, because I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
There's a lot of information there. No, but one part I'm very inspired is when you talk about, you know, slow living. And the importance of it to find like your natural rhythm and everything. So what does slow living mean to you?
So moving to Italy has helped me tremendously learn how to know what it means to live slow living and like actually embrace what slow living is, because the basic living in Italy is pretty much slow living. I mean, everybody loves to take their time, especially in business. It was a big, I had to really learn patience and learn that not everything needs to happen at a rapid pace just because you want it to happen at a rapid pace. That's in Aries, but also what I was used to in America. And moving to Italy made me realize that like slowing down and not feeling like everything needs to happen right now and right your yesterday, or like I need an answer in 4 hours, or I need an answer tomorrow, and just like leaning into the fact that like sometimes things just take time and it's okay. And instead of feeling like every single day I need to be deep pursuing some sort of thing because I'm not doing enough, it's just not the way to live for me. It's just not. Yes, there's always time where you need to be in action, and I do have to say that like the beginning of this year, I have so much going on with my career that sometimes the life that I want and to do, like really, really embody of the slow living, sometimes is not 100% what I want, how I want to live it, because I have so much going on with work. And that's why things like morning routine and making sure that no matter what, that is a time that is always blocked out on my schedule for me and myself is so important, because that's a key point of my slow living process. And then whenever I have days, like for instance, yesterday was the first day in like literally since I think the beginning of December that I didn't have something on my schedule from the morning until like 3 p.m. And I was like, yes, and instead of feeling like, what can I do? I can film a YouTube. I could do this. I could like, you know, create content. There's like so many other things that I could fit in this window of time. I was like, absolutely not. You are going to do nothing. You are going to have an extremely slow morning. You are going to spend time outside and you are going to like do whatever you feel called to around the house, or like literally sit and read a book, like anything but work. And the old me would have found 15 other items, things that I could have been doing in this like window of time where I didn't have something that was like really I needed to be. And so slow living is like finding balance, and I think too, spending as much time outside and as much time in nature as you possibly can, because I think that that just helps ground the energy and allows you to actually incorporate what slow living is. Slow living is being in the present moment. It's understanding that presence is so important, and when you're always seeking forward, yes, we always have to dream, and yes, we always need to be thinking about our future, but like if you're only thinking about your future and you're never actually sitting in the present moment and sitting in gratitude of where you are right now in your life and like what you can do to make yourself feel more at peace, like you're just not living life. You're basically missing out on all of the most beautiful parts of what life is, which is realizing where you are and feeling where you are and giving thanks to where you are. Like since I was so young, I always felt behind. I always felt like I could be doing more. I always felt that I wasn't far enough in my career. I always felt that I didn't have enough money. And like, I never actually lived in the present. Like all my beginning of my 20s, I feel sad for myself that like, I just was seeking, doing, not living in the present. Also, because I think I was not in a very good emotional place in my relationship. I wasn't that happy. And there was a lot of emotional roller coaster rides that I was going through. And when you're going through that, it's very hard to live in the present. You're like, anything but the present is where you want to live. And so I just, it's so important. And it's such a big thing now for me to just like embrace that. And whenever I feel overwhelmed in my workday, if it's super packed, like when I have 10, 15, 30 minutes, like go outside, put your feet in the ground, like close your eyes, like take deep breaths, like simple things like that make such a difference to like embrace that slow living lifestyle. It doesn't have to be perfect. I'm an entrepreneur. So like if I were to give up the entrepreneur side and just do farming, like that would probably be a different type of slow life, right? But I'm trying to incorporate the slow life with the entrepreneurship and like finding the balance between the two and making sure that, again, from, you know, the beginning of our conversation, like not having the imbalance and extremes, but like really finding that perfect like sway between like, I work better when I'm more balanced and I'm grounded. So it's so beneficial for my career and for my work and for my employees when I'm in a place of peace and groundedness versus seeking, doing, overworking, and feeling like I'm not doing enough.
It's so interesting, especially from also being a content creator and also being an entrepreneur. It's, you always find something that you, or you think you can always do more. It's like, yeah, it's one of my biggest challenges. And I'm also, I recognize myself so much from being early on, like in my early adult time, being so chased by life. Like, yeah, it's like I want to chase something all the time. It's, yeah, it's exhausting.
And coming also from marketing careers before we started our own business. So really this year we have pushed ourselves to, instead of like going from admin to like a podcast interview, we take 20 minutes in between to really ground ourselves, do a meditation. All us had just like, should we record like a video to Instagram? Should we create this, yeah, and this? So really try to lean into more of this. It's super inspiring to just hear you talk about like slow living, because we are slowly getting there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a struggle for us. But I, yeah, think for us, it's so much about incorporating a good structure.
Yeah.
Do you recognize structure that too?
Yeah, structure is absolutely key. Like because I don't, I'm actually one of the worst content creators. I am not one of those people that likes to put a tripod up or like, you know, likes to shoot everything I do or sets up a camera or like, I am the opposite. I like to live my life and not think about my phone or think about social media. But I understand the importance of me being a content creator and like trying to put out specific times and days where I actually like structure and do content. And actually one of the best investments I ever made being a content creator was finding somebody to help me specific with content creation.
That was coming from, yeah, the universe. So we need this. I'm the same. And I think you're the same.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We don't 100% really want to record everything that we do in life, and it's hard to know like what to record, what's not to record, yeah, and what's inspiring and what's not inspiring. And I'm the same, like
also
I don't have my phone.
Creating, like doing the videos and everything, it takes time from so much more, as you said, like grounding time outside, yeah, or like eating or health.
You have to have boundaries as a content creator. Like, listen, some people have it fully immersed in their lives and they don't mind having their like partner and family and kids, and like they're just always constantly on social media and on a phone. And listen, like I'm never talking badly about anyone if that's what works for them, but like truly for me, it's not what I feel is the most beneficial. And I truly feel that like for my own life and my own boundaries, I have to have boundaries with social media and what I share versus what I don't. And like, I share so much of my life and so much of my recipes, and there is a lot of personal stuff on social media, but there is so much that I don't share because I make sure that I block out my life to actually enjoy and feel inspired and like live in the present versus just always feeling like I need to record stuff. And it was actually one of my boyfriend's like first thing he noticed about me, because when he saw that I was an influencer before we met, he was like, oh God, like the last thing. He was one of those guys that has like, doesn't really care about Instagram. And he was like, imagine dating a girl that like always is on her phone, like disaster. And he literally told me like, it's really impressive. Like how you have, like when we're together, like you have no phone, like you don't, like there's like, you have such a boundary situation where you have like work and you have personal life. And he's like, it's honestly very impressive. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I need my personal life without social media. And then I love when I feel inspired to block out times and days where I think of really good content or things that I'm doing that make sense for content, you know? Mm. It's, I think for me as a content creator, it's important to me to have that balance, especially when I'm trying to like live a slow life and really actually enjoy what I do and the life that I've created for myself.
I also think that's something that comes out of the videos that you do. Like, you feel like it's grounded, you feel like it's, you know, it's kind of, it's planned, it's professional, and it's, maybe you put some more time into it, like instead of filming everything that you do. But I think that's also something that inspires me. Like, I love the quality of them, and also like they're not coming like 10 per day. It's like, you know, like it's, to me it's balanced. It's very balanced, like looking at your social and
Thank
following
you.
You. It's like, it feels good, you know? Sometimes it could feel like it's a bit like it's stressing me out because I'm like comparing myself to someone who's filming everything that they do. Like, but this is, to me, it resonates.
Yes, so, 100%.
Yeah. So continue on your path. It's great.
Mm. Thank you.
And that's, yeah, and that's why you are here. We only like take in people that feels very expansive for us, that are like expanders. And that's why, yeah, both of us feel so expanded of how you are living and how you are doing things. So so it's so nice to spread your energy to our listeners and to, yeah, to spread you here in Sweden. And yeah,
Thank you.
I think people need more of this like slow life and this true authentic life.
Yeah, I think that's the key too, is the true authenticity. I mean, my two retreats that I'm doing in March and April here in Umbria, they're literally like the whole theme of them is authenticity and joy, because I feel like when we get so involved in life and different, so many different social media people and comparison all the time and like someone's career and someone's life, and we're just kind of like, there's all this information that's coming at us at all times. Like, you lose yourself of authenticity so easily because you are comparing and trying and this, that, and the other. And where the absolute goal of success is truly finding your authentic self 100%. Like, what makes you vibrate and thrive and make you feel like you're living your best and most authenticity? And secondary to that, what actually brings you joy in life? It's not about your job. It's about what actually brings you joy, because when you find your joy, you're living your authentic life. And when you spend time and do joyful things, it brings so much more value and balance to your life, like slow living. I mean, my joy that I just learned that I didn't know, you know, I'm a creator. I love like cooking and creating recipes is a big part of my life because it's a way for me to create, and it's a love language. I love to take care of people, and my best way to take care of people is through nourishing meals. But because that's part of my job, it doesn't necessarily take all the joy out of it, but it's not truly something that brings me joy outside of my work. And so I've tried to figure out what that is. And for me, it's working with clay, and I love ceramics now. So like creating ceramics on my free time is something that brings me joy. And it's like, now I'm like, I get so excited to like block out a little hour of time after my work day before I go to sleep to like decompress and like hold clay in my hand and mold like a shitty mug. But like, I don't really care because I'm not advanced, but you know, it's something that brings me so much joy and relaxes me. And so my whole point of my retreats is to really help people who have maybe lost some of their authenticity or don't really know what brings them joy anymore, and try to rediscover it so that they can go home and like live in their full authenticity.
Mm. So nice. When did you say your retreats are?
So the first one is March 16th to the 22nd. It's in a couple weeks. I'm like so excited. And then the second one is mid-April. Let me just get the exact date so I don't say it wrong. April 13th to the 19th.
Ooh, are they fully booked or should our listeners check them out?
So I think they're about fully booked, but it depends. So we actually go through a really extensive application process because we really want to curate. It's a small group. It's 14 people per retreat. So we go through an application process. We interview everybody because we want to make sure that the people that we're putting together have all kind of the same, different walks of life, but kind of the same intention, so that it becomes a container of, you know, really beautiful energy where people are coming to learn and expand. So we have two spots actually in April still left, but we have a few interviews, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be picked. So we could have some open, but not 100% sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. And just the last question, because we know that you are so into health and we love your tips with the olive oil. And I've seen like this shot you're taking now in the morning. So what's your absolute best health tips right now that you are just like, yeah.
My best health tips. So I would say my number one overall health tip is to get your feet in the ground at least 2 to 5 minutes a day. It doesn't matter if it's dirt or grass or stone, anything that just is a natural material, to just like go and really take your feet out of your shoes or out of your socks and just like put them in the ground. Secondary to that, yes, I have been doing for actually a very long time, but I just recently started, you know, promoting it more because I have my own olive oil and it's medicinal quality. So like I really got into it now, which is olive oil lemon shot on an empty stomach. And somebody who's a big advocate on gut health and who's had numerous amounts of years of my own gut health journey, it's something that I incorporated into my life that I feel has helped with so many different things. One, because I'm so fiery and high in vata, this really helps cool down and like hydrate my insides, because it typically means you're more dry. So that really has helped. This also really helps with killing bad bacteria in the gut because of the high polyphenol count and antioxidants in olive oil. And then it also helps go to the bathroom every morning because it kind of lubricates all of the colon. And then it does kind of give a really nice base layer on your gut lining, which helps you absorb more nutrients in the morning and throughout your day when you eat meals. So, and also healthy fats are so important. So many people don't realize, like, we've in our society for a long time, we were like, fats are bad and fat makes you fat. But like, it's actually not true. When you eat really healthy fats, you're most of the time your body, if you don't eat enough healthy fats, it only burns sugar. So you, if you have a hard time losing weight, it's probably because your body is only burning sugar because it doesn't have enough healthy fats. So when you actually eat more healthy fats, like olive oil, omega-3s and 6, avocado, like whatever your healthy fats may be, like nuts and seeds, all of a sudden that metabolism will switch and it will start burning the fat because it has enough versus only burning sugar. So that's my my top.
Yeah, I'm going to try the olive oil and lemon shot tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't really on an empty stomach. It feels like my stomach would be like, whoa. Like if it feels like it would be like, you know, strong. But no, I guess not.
No, not at all. And it's funny is like ancient practices for a long time, like in Europe, actually. So I think in Greece as well, Greece and then somewhat of Italy. It's actually when you have acid reflux, it's what they say, it's to take olive oil and lemon because it's supposed to help with acid reflux. So it actually is super beneficial. Yeah. And nice. I, for people who do say that like it's a little bit intense on my stomach in the morning, most likely it's because it's detoxing your gut. So if it makes you feel a little like uncomfortable, it's because it's working. So I would try and stick it out a little bit and see if it gets better. Of course, if it does hurt your stomach and you know you have some issues, I would just eat something shortly after to kind of, you know, put something else in the stomach for you. But I would say stick it out because most likely it's just eradicating something in there that probably needs a little assistance.
Okay, good to know. Yeah.
Yeah, we have like hundreds of more topics that we want to talk with you about, but time is time.
Okay. But thank you so much, Shayna, for joining us today. It's been amazing to talk to you. I already feel like many of my questions I had about life moving is kind of like dissolving. And I feel like this was exactly what I needed in order for me to, you know, go ahead and be brave in life. And
I fully support you. I really feel like you should take a risk and just know that, like, of course, like moving outside of your comfort zone is always going to be challenging because you're now like giving yourself an entirely new energy system because you're like pursuing something you feel called to. So just be kind and patient and know that there's going to be times where you're like, did I make the right choice? And it's totally normal. And just like move through it and like put yourself out there and go meet people and go to cafes and eat alone and just like fully immerse the time that you have alone so that you can meet community and like just be patient because it's so easy to move, be overwhelmed and like go backwards. But you know, it's, you're going to have magical times where you wake up and you're like, this is the best thing I ever did. And then there's going to be times where you're going to be like, what the fuck did I just do? And it's okay. Just move through all of them and just know that like whatever's meant to be, as long as you follow your intuition and like whenever you feel overwhelmed, like just tune into your body and how it feels and like directions that you could go and feel into it. And like, you'll be guided and know the right, the right way to move.
Yeah, so many beautiful tips.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So thank you so much, Shayna,
giving us this transmission of so much bravery, boundaries. Yeah, it's amazing.
And if we do like a Holocrap tour in Europe, we will definitely go.
Stop by Umbria.
Stop by Umbria.
Definitely. I would love that. And if I happen to be, I'm actually going to Copenhagen in May.
Ooh.
I mean, you're going to be moving. You said April 1st, so you may not be there, but
I'm back in Stockholm in May, so maybe it's this, around the same
time. So please, if you need guides in Stockholm, we will show you the best spots.
Yes, I will definitely text you.
I have so many questions about the dogs, but how did you, get, because I have one dog and I want more, did you get, because they look like they're grown up, right? When did you get them? You didn't get them as puppies?
Yeah, I got them as puppies. Panda's 11, so she's my smallest one. She's 11 and... She's old and been through so much life with me. Wow, she's been through it all. And then
Oliver from the States.
Yeah, and then Oliver is 5, and he also, I moved him from the States. I got him in America first. And then the sheepdogs I actually rescued them from a property near mine. He had like a huge litter of sheepdogs because he has a bunch of sheep, and he was like, please take these puppies. And I was like, okay. And so I took them.
I love it. Yeah. Another inspiring area. Good. Okay, good to know. Because I was like, how did she
I moved
she recently moved. Like, how did she already have 4 dogs? Okay.
Yeah. 2 I came with, 2 I got.
All right.
Yeah.
So moving with dogs is also something that you can do. That's
you can. It's a challenging for sure, but you can, you just have to do research and like figure out, you know, within Europe, you should be okay because it's pretty, you know, it's easier to move around Europe. Me coming from America to Europe, it was also not too difficult, but except for just making sure you did all the right paperwork. And like, then Oliver was too big to put in a carrier. So he's a service animal, is the only way you can bring him on the plane. And then I can't travel with them both at the same time. So I had to bring someone with me. So my assistant had to fly with me with the dogs. Then I had to do all this paperwork. So... you know,
everything you do for the dogs.
Yeah, but that the service dog thing is something that I need to check out because that's that's smart.
I know you guys don't have it in Europe though. It's not a thing. I wish that it was. Do you?
Yeah, because we do. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Our friend moved to Mexico City, but maybe that was.
I think they may have changed the rules. I don't know.
Since I've heard something 6 months.
Yeah, because I can't fly with Oliver just to like around Europe on just European flights. They don't accept service dogs. It's very difficult for them to approve it. So the only way that they'll let him on is if it's a connecting to a flight that's going back from America or connecting that's coming from America. Because they said that service animals is not a thing in Europe. So I had to like, it was really difficult to move him around Europe. When I was actually here, and flying was fine, like to Europe, but within Europe was pretty much impossible.
That's good to know. Maybe I need to take the train. It takes 3 days, but maybe it's worth it. All right, this was a different topic. So thank you so much again.
Thank
you. We love following you. We love seeing everything that you do. Thanks and I know our listeners are going to be super inspired.
Yes, they will.
Thank you for listening, or thanks for listening. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.